presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
I started this week with going to the CRC conference in Adelaide. I left Tuesday, went Wednesday and Thursday, and I didn't want to go. Caleb didn't come with me this time. I was being a bit like, I don't want to go by myself. But circumstances led me to make sure that I went. I was even, don't judge me, okay? I was even saying, I think I've got a scratchy throat. I think I'm going to wake up sick. I didn't. I was trying to get out of going. But God really, he really touched me when I went. And I wasn't going to share this morning. I'm going to call it sharing, not preaching, as you know. I wasn't going to share this morning. I was going to choose a video and put that on. But I felt like maybe just come and just share some stuff with you. So I was reminded at conference of who Jesus is for me. And for those of you who have been coming here for a long time, we've gone through some changes together. We've gone through Pastor Caleb not being the preacher, the preacher man, and, you know, missing his sermons and stuff. And I hear that from people and I start to think, well, maybe I'm not good enough, I shouldn't be doing this. And, you know, I start to get some of those feelings and wondering, should I be doing this? And, you know, God has set me apart and said, Kerry, I've told you this before, he told me off, he said, this is where you're going, this is what you got to do, and stop doubting. And so I have done that. But still I was feeling like at conference there are, you know, some really great preachers and there are some women who are really great preachers, and I'm sitting there feeling really bad about myself, thinking, oh, I can't do that. And then we had some worship time. And as we were worshiping, I just felt like God said, remember your first love. It is Jesus. And all I could think was, man, I love Jesus so much. I just love him so much. And I felt like God said, that is what matters the most. That is what we as a church need to like keep on focusing on. And in some of that, I'm gonna take you through a little bit of my journey. So Pastor Hans came for a regional pastors gathering. The pastors from the different regions come and gather, and we talk together and spend time on a Friday, and he gave me some words about God reminding me of some things from the past, and I'm going to be able to ponder on them, and I'm going to be able to he's going to show me some things. And so one of the things when God was reminding me of my first love with him, he also reminded me of my other first physical love with Caleb. And so I was having this memory of going, when I knew I wanted to marry a man who loved Jesus, that was the most important thing to me. And there was a time when Caleb was worship leading up here, and I was about, maybe I was about here, right? Because the seats, there was like, I was about here, and I was a bit further back than when there weren't any pews. And I looked up, and you should go stand there, Caleb, as the prop. And sing a song for us. And I looked up and I felt like God said to me, this man has my heart. Aww. He loves me and he's the one. And that's what, like, I remember that feeling, and I was like, oh wow, thanks God for that memory of just remembering, you know, like, He chose us to be together, and I really felt that in that moment. And there were other moments too, but those stories are a little bit longer. There was another moment where I'll do the short version. We were talking about our futures. We were just hanging out because we were youth group leaders together. That's all, just hanging out, chatting. And he asked me if I, what I wanted to do for the future, and I was just talking about my study, and then I said, oh, what about you? And in that moment, I went, oh, I hope he says he wants to be with me. And then in the next moment, I went, oh, no. Should I say what I actually said? I said, hey, no, no, he's boring. He already knows that he's heard that. Caleb is a, you know, he wasn't the person who I would look at and, you know, like who we kind of like naturally would have thought we were, you know, he was a Star Trek person. I had no idea what Star Trek was. I guess, sorry, Lynn. Yeah, there was a time when, you know, when you go to the DVD, the video shop. Yep, it's not too many youngins here. A video back in the olden days, Josh and Alex, back in the olden days. He'd hire all of these videos, all these Star Trek series, and when we're first married, and I remember I was cooking dinner in the kitchen, and I didn't realise how I was actually listening to it, and he paused it, and I went, hang on, I want to know what happens next. And I went, oh, no! I was determined to not be hooked by Star Trek. but that's also, you know, part of like spending time together and being with each other is that you start to sort of enjoy each other's, some of each other's likes and dislikes, we'll say some. He got me watching sci-fi movies and things like that. I hadn't watched one sci-fi movie until we started dating. It was like rom-coms were it. Who's rom-coms? Rom-coms, yeah. Like I also remember as a kid, like Jesus has been taking me back to when I was a kid and when my parents brought me here to this church. I've been in this church since I was 8 years old. And I remember them pulling me out of kids' church, which is, you know, like over one of those buildings over there. I don't remember if it was actually that building. It was probably like the shed, wasn't it? Like with Elaine. Elaine was my Sunday school teacher. She was my favourite. Don't tell anyone. And I remember them pulling me out for a dedication service where my parents wanted to dedicate a whole family to God and like publicly declare that. And I remember standing there looking at people going, what is going on? I love Jesus. I don't need to stand here and like, what? Like, what is this about? Because I really love Jesus. I didn't need to tell anybody or be there for someone to make me. Well, I don't know, because I didn't quite understand what was going on at the time anyway. And some of you may have heard me talk about this scripture in 1 John 2:15, where I was sitting down reading in my bedroom, reading this scripture, and the scripture from 1 John 2:15 is, do not love the world or anything in the world. And I was like, what does that mean? And my mum explained to me, you know, that we love Jesus more than we love the things in the world. And I remember in that moment, like my heart going, oh, okay. And so that made me remember, you know, that I had Madonna CDs, cassettes. I had Madonna cassettes, and I had one Amy Grant, who was a Christian singer, cassette. And God, like, I threw out my Madonna cassettes because I didn't want to be part of the world. I wanted to be part of like Jesus' world and to follow Him. And so, like, I'm just remembering what Jesus has done for me, what Jesus, like, how He's called me to follow Him. And I wanted to share that this morning because I wanted to come and say, you know, like, for us as a church, can you go back now? Are you sitting there doing the same? Are you remembering a first time that you met Jesus? You know, maybe you haven't had that encounter yet. And maybe you desire that, or maybe you're curious about that. And we'll talk a bit more about what that means soon. But, you know, like, is there a time, can you remember when he captured your heart? You know, what is coming to church all about? Is it just about sitting, you know, here and singing a song and feeling good about ourselves, or, you know, and, you know, having a coffee and a chat with somebody? What is the purpose? What is the purpose of all of that? We want to serve Jesus, and he has called us. He has called us to share what we have with others. I was just being reminded of that and wanting to share that here today, and I just want to remind you guys that that is what our purpose is. Our sole purpose here is for Jesus. It's not for a fantastic, amazing worship time with Katie, who's the most amazing worship leader ever. No biases here. you know, like, what if we don't have a music team one week? What if it's really woeful? Or Joe says, what if it's her? Is that what you said? No? You have to listen to Joe? You know, what if things don't go well? What if there isn't a sermon, like there possibly might not have been this morning? You know, like, why do we come to church? What is it for? And I, like, want to just, like, prompt some of those questions for you. What are your reasons for coming to church? And, like, you know, my relationship with Caleb and marrying him and then having four kids and lovely, beautiful children. And, you know, learning to like Star Trek and sci-fi movies, like The Fifth Element. I think that was another one of the first he showed me. But, you know, like, those things couldn't have happened or couldn't have come. We wouldn't still be married and still be here together if we hadn't spent time with each other, if we didn't get to know each other, if we didn't sort of enjoy in each other's likes and dislikes, if we didn't think about each other. Because that's important, isn't it? If we didn't serve each other. Oh, I got me coffee in bed yesterday. Oh, it was so nice. I was so exhausted from conference. I could barely get out of bed. I'm exuding all this energy today, but don't worry, I'll probably be back on the couch this afternoon. I could barely move. I was so exhausted, and he just looked after me so well yesterday. But, you know, spending time together and being on the same page when we're parenting and doing some of those, you know, just doing life together, being on the same page with our finances and all of that. That's like the physical, like, relationship that I have in the household with my husband, Caleb. Jesus, he wants that kind of relationship with us and more. He wants so much more. He loves you so passionately. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to be part of your finances. He wants to serve you. He wants to love you. He wants you to serve him. And just hoping that you can feel that passion that he has for you. Like, the Word of God says that he knows how many hairs are on your head. That one blows me away, and you're probably sick of hearing me say that scripture. I say that one to you guys a lot because I just, like, I can't fathom how he could just know how many hairs are on your head. He knows how many tears you've cried. I probably have more than all of you in heaven. bottles and bottles of tears. You know, he knows that stuff. He knows the intimate stuff about you. He says he knows your thoughts. He knows your ways. There's nothing that we can hide from him. And I know I've had conversations with God, and I've just been like, oh, you know, blah, 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 I'm feeling this and this. And then I stop, and he reminds me. He's like, well, I already knew that, Kerry. You didn't have to tell me. Well, you could, you know, I told him, But it was like that reminder of, you're not actually hiding anything from me, because I already know. I already know what's in your heart. So I just want to encourage you to spend time with Jesus. If anything, if you're struggling, having a hard time, just find a way that you can spend time with him and find out what he wants for you. I think that now might be a really good time to pass over the microphone to Caleb. Pastor Caleb. We're going to keep calling him Pastor Caleb. He's still got his credentials. Caleb's had some things that God has shown him through the worship service, and I feel like now is a really good time to share that. Am I right? Yeah? Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Kerry. I was reminded of two stories from the Bible this morning during the worship time, and I felt like God wanted me to share them, and I just mentioned it to Kerry and whatever. So the first story that he brought to my mind was from Acts chapter 16, and it's probably one a lot of you know. It's quite a well-known one. It's the time when Paul and Silas found themselves in prison, and Paul often found himself in prison, so that wasn't any great. But this was a time when they'd been ministering around the town, and there'd been this young girl, the slave girl, who'd been possessed by an evil spirit, and she began calling out that these guys were, you know, servants of the Most High, and you should listen to what they say and all this kind of stuff. And day after day it had happened, and finally Paul had got annoyed with it and had turned around and told this evil spirit to leave, and it did. And then the owners of this slave girl had got all annoyed because she was their source of income, because she could fortune tell and all this kind of stuff, and so he had them thrown in prison. And I was thinking about that, and those of you who know the story, you know that when Paul and Silas, you know, it was like the middle of the night, and Paul and Silas, who'd been beaten up, thrown in stocks, chucked in prison, it was probably dark, miserable, damp, rats, bugs, you name it, whatever, right? There's no sanitary conditions, there's no nice comfy bed and TV and whatever like we have in prisons these days, in the West at least. And what do we find them doing? We find them praising God, singing songs, and it says everyone around them was listening to them. And I was challenged by that, because so often in our, when we find ourselves in miserable circumstances, when we find ourselves up against it, it's very easy to focus on the problems. It's very easy to focus on the things that are causing us pain, the things that are causing us stress and worry. And I just felt like the challenge for us this morning was, what, you know, when we find ourselves in those difficult circumstances, where does our focus go? Do we focus on the problems, or do we focus on what the things that we need to change? Are we, you know, even when we go to God and we're praying, are we, you know, are we praying, God, change this circumstance, God, heal me, God, make a change in my finances, God, solve this problem for me? Or like Paul and Silas, do we focus on what Jesus has done? Do we focus on just on praising? And I think there's something powerful in that. When we get that revelation and just know that, we sing songs about this and go, you know, we fight our battles by just focusing on Jesus and praising, worshipping him. Hebrews 12 tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, as we're running this race of life, that our focus is on Jesus. And the reality is, we have an awful lot that we can be thankful for. There's an awful lot that Jesus has done for us, that we can praise him for. You know, he's given us new life. He's made me clean. He's made me righteous. He's given me an inheritance and a promise of eternity. And when I begin to praise him about those things, like the temporary stuff that I might be dealing with, no matter how hard it is, doesn't compare with eternity with God. It's a momentary thing. The second story that came to my mind was the story of the three men who were threatened with being thrown into the fiery furnace in Daniel chapter 3. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Not Abednego, no. Sorry, it's one of my pet things. That's right, you can be pedantic when you're a boring person. Even when, like, you know, big mega church preachers and their TV shows and stuff say it wrong, I'm like, come on, Craig Rochelle said that a few weeks ago. I'm like, Craig. Sorry. But here's three guys who find themselves, their lives threatened. You know, I'm sure that, you know, we don't read about it, but I'm sure that they were praying pretty hard at that point. But here's three guys who said, you know, even if God doesn't save us, we know he can because he's powerful, but even if he doesn't, we're still going to praise him. We're still going to worship him and him alone. And sometimes I'm often challenged by that question and go, am I serving God because of the things I think he can do for me? Or am I serving God because he's God and because he's worthy of praise? Or because Jesus went to the cross and paid the price for me? How would I feel if Jesus came to me and said he was not ever going to fix my problem? You know, like Paul, who wrote about his thorn in the flesh and said he's prayed and prayed and prayed and he's asked God to take it away and God said, nah, deal with it. You know, it's fine, you can manage, you can do it. I'll give you grace and I'll help you through it. And this is one of the things sometimes that we find in our lives, isn't it? That God doesn't take away our problems, but he does walk through it with us. And as we begin to focus on him and praise him, I think it helps us to put that into perspective and go, you know what, no matter what challenge I'm facing, no matter what grief I might be looking at down the track, no matter what loss I might be looking at, no matter what pain, suffering, struggles, whatever I might be looking at dealing with or facing right now, God is still God. God is still good. He's still with me. He doesn't promise that everything will be hunky-dory and rosy and a piece of cake. He doesn't promise to fix every problem. Doesn't promise that we're always going to have plenty of food on the table and money in the bank. Don't we know that? Doesn't promise that there'll be no pain in this life. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, in this world you will have trouble. In this world there'll be people who'll come after you. So they come after me, you're my followers, they'll come after you too. There'll be difficulty, there'll be struggle, there'll be strife, but I will be with you in it and I've overcome. Ultimately, we praise God, we worship him because he's already won the victory. Been to the cross, he's defeated sin, he's defeated death, and ultimately at the end we win. We have that promise, that certainty of a future with him. And I want to encourage you, no matter what circumstances you're facing, no matter what challenges you're dealing with, no matter what things are causing you stress or worry or grief, begin to focus on Jesus. Know that he's walking through that with you. Worship him and praise him for who he is and for what he's done in you.
Yeah. Ah, such good stuff, hey? Yeah, thanks. Yes, thank you. God chose you. He's chosen every single one of you who are here today. No matter what we're going through, no matter what life throws at us, that doesn't change. The Lord doesn't change. It is still true that God chose us, that He sent Jesus, His Son, to go to the cross and die for us. For every single thing that we've done wrong, for every single pain, He sent Jesus for us so we can have freedom, so that we can have eternal life, so that when this life on earth ends, it will be in heaven with Him in hell. So I want to just, so much want you to just grab that and remember that if that's where you've been, you know, if you've accepted Jesus into your life and you've wanted to follow Him, grab that again, go back to your first love and remember that. And if you don't know Him and you want to know Him, like, we can introduce you to Jesus. It is not hard. There are no set rules. There's nothing that you have to do. You do not have to have your life perfect and all clean and wonderful and beautiful, and then Jesus comes and it's amazing. It is not like that. Jesus comes and it is amazing, but we don't have to be clean and perfect to begin with. Golly gosh, you know, like, if that was the way, we'd all vacate the premises, in Kathy's words. You know, the things that we've all been through, you know, like, the things I've been through, depression, I've been through anxiety. Sometimes, you know, I'm still battling anxiety. Last week I was battling anxiety and I'm like, what is going on? You know, Caleb has struggled with the burnout, and you guys have been through that journey with us, because there are storms that come our way. Like, this is not, you know, we're not perfect, and things happen. People get sick. We have falls. There's pain. There's cancer. There's, you know, all of these things in our lives. So it doesn't mean that we're going to have perfection. I was so glad what Caleb, you shared this morning, because also in the prayer time this morning before we started, I also prayed that we would remember that Jesus is with us in the storm. He doesn't save us from the storm. He's with us in the storm. And some of you already know that those Bible scriptures. I know I haven't used a lot of scripture references this morning. I just hope you can forgive me for being somewhat a little bit unprepared, but just speaking from my heart, and you can pull out your Bible and go, oh, yes, you know, maybe God's reminding you of scriptures now. I want us to remember that we are children of God. He has called us. He has chosen us. That we are loved beyond measure. The word of God says to come to Him when we're weary and burdened, and He has called you by name. So let's, as we like finish up today, Katie got some more music for us. I'm not sure if I'll join you yet. I might just pray if you could just put something on in the background there. You know, look, if you're, I know we're a small group today, but like if you've been touched by some stuff today, and but you also would love some prayer, then please come forward. I would love to pray with you. And I'm sure, you know, maybe Caleb will pray too. I don't know. Maybe he won't. If he feels that it's in the right space. If you want to meet Jesus, if you want Him in, you know, you want to walk with Him that appeals to you, then we're going to say a prayer all together. And I'm just going to, you know, if you are sitting here also saying, I've forgotten, I've lost some of that, I want you to pray this prayer as well. We're all going to pray it together so nobody feels weird and out there. Maybe you want to just recommit to Jesus. What, you know, like just give it back to him again. But while we're singing as well, you're welcome to come and I'll pray with you. No matter, you know, even if there's something else unrelated, love to pray with you. So let's all close our eyes and will you just pray this prayer with me out loud all together? Just after me. Father God, thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die in my place. I'm sorry for all that I've done wrong. And I accept your forgiveness. And I want to follow you. Amen. Let me just pray for you as well while your eyes are closed. Lord, we invite your presence. Lord, we thank you that you are a mighty God, that you are with us through the storms of life, when things get tough. We know who we can turn to, and it's you, Jesus, that there is hope in you, that there is healing in you, that we can walk in freedom. And so, Father, we lift our hands to you. Maybe you want to open your palms to him and just say, Lord, we surrender to you our finances. We surrender to you our health. I surrender to you all of those things that are worrying me. And I give them to you, Lord Jesus, and I ask that you would take them and ask that you would come and you would bring answers into those places and that you would also come and bring peace where peace needs to come. Thank you, Father. You're a mighty God. As we worship and we praise you, let us not forget what you've done for us, the sacrifice you made for us, so we can come freely into your presence and know who you are and get to know you and spend time with you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.
Message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.